Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine and tune in for Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Linda creates sacred space for leading female luminaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. A soulful venue where guests openly share the fears and obstacles they've overcome, wisdom and lessons learned, and the personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations to empower you on your path to authentic, soulful living.
Welcome to Inspired Conversations. I'm so excited you're circling up with me today. I'm host Linda Joy, publisher of Aspire Magazine, the premier inspirational personal development magazine for women since 2006. And I have been committed to spreading a message of empowerment, inspiration, and feminine wisdom for all those years. And do you know that Aspire's subscription is still free? If you haven't downloaded your free subscription, go to subscribe2aspire.com and you'll receive instant access to the current issue as well as years worth of archives and dozens of transformational digital bonus gifts from our friends and supporters. So thank you again for circling up with me. And today I'm circling up with Lynnie Thomas. Lynnie began her healing practice in 1997, became a Healing Touch certified practitioner in 2000, and became certified as an instructor in 2002. She maintains a thriving practice and enjoys teaching Healing Touch. She also holds classes about recognizing and communicating with guides. When she has time, she continues exploring the various modalities and studying the research on energy medicine currently being done, which I think is so important. She loves to write books on energy medicine and spirituality. She's the author of numerous books, including the recently released expanded edition of the Encyclopedia of Energy Medicine, a comprehensive reference to healing modalities from acupressure to zero balancing. Welcome, Lynnie.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here. I get tickled with that title because you put that on Twitter and you're done.
Yeah, it's a long title, but I loved it because it drew me right in. And I'm really curious. I have a woman on the show. I always love to say, find out like what led them to the work they're doing in the world, because I always find it's such an inspirational story. So it says you began your healing practice in 1997. Was there a pivotal moment in your life that led you to this type of work?
Yes, it's a bit of a story. You want the whole thing?
Yeah, let's go for it and we'll watch the time.
Okay. I had taken classes in 1978 that taught the importance of positive thinking and affirmations. So forward to 1996. And a woman who worked next to me, her daughter was in a car accident and broke C4 and C7 in her neck. So she was paralyzed from the waist, from the neck down. And my thought was, with all the positive thinking and affirmations that I had been working with, that perhaps she could walk again if we worked with her mind to get her body going again. And 3 months went by, and she was still paralyzed, had run out of all the freebie stuff that you get when something like that happens, and was at home in the family living room, just laying there. So it bothered me. Now, this is where I start thinking, maybe this was a calling. Anyway, I finally said to her mother, could I come work with your daughter? They were desperate for anything. So I went over there, and there was a tennis ball in my car. I don't know why or how it got there, but there it was. And I took it in with me, and I put her hand around the tennis ball. Now, for somebody who's paralyzed, the fingers are flat out. They don't curl naturally. So I put the tennis ball in her hand, and I curled her fingers and her thumb around it and held it in place with my hand. And then I had her close her eyes and remember what it was like to hold a tennis ball, which she did. And then I said, when you have that firmly in mind, open your eyes and look at your hand around the tennis ball, which she did. And then I said, close your eyes again and imagine what it would be like to hold the tennis ball now. So when she had that firmly in mind, I let go and four of the fingers stayed in place. And tennis balls have a lot of friction. And so the thumb, we managed to get it in place and she could hold the tennis ball. Well, everybody freaked out. This was a big, exciting thing. I worked with her for a full year. And at the end of the year, she could use most of her upper body. She could comb her hair, she could feed herself, that kind of thing. And at the end of the year, it was competing with Days of Our Lives, and she had a daughter of her own who didn't like being kept out of the room, and so she fired me. That's when I learned the difference between cure and healing. Cure is the absence of symptoms. Healing is when you've reached a point in your therapy where you're ready to go on down the road. And this gal was ready to go on down the road. So it was a great opportunity for both of us to have a learning experience. Well, at that time, a love affair went sour, and a friend of mine was opening up a ministerial school, and I didn't have anything else to do, so I applied for it and had to fill out all kinds of questionnaires about what I was doing, what I like to do, what would I like to do in 10 years' time. And I had all this healing experience working with this gal. And so I got called in the morning classes started. And she told me that the board had met to discuss my case, and she had prayed about it all night, and they decided to turn me down. And I thought I had flunked out of ministerial school before I even got in the door. And then she said, and this is that turning point, the world is full of ministers, but we very much need healers. We'd like to offer you a scholarship to the healing school of your choice.
Wow. Talk about alignment.
Yes, and I really knew nothing about energy medicine at that time. I'd heard of Reiki, and it was too woo-woo for me at that time. I didn't understand it. But she knew somebody who had recently taken Healing Touch. And she put me in touch with the home office. And wouldn't you know, 3 weeks from that time, they were holding a class in Oregon, which at that time they did once a year. And I walked into that class, and within 5 minutes, I was hooked. The room was so full of compassionate people, and I could feel that compassion just walking in the room. And I thought, I like this. I want to be a part of this. And away I went.
It sounds like just being divinely led to your life purpose. And I have had that happen with me. So I just love when all these breadcrumbs, I call them spiritual breadcrumbs, lead us to where we're meant to be. And then look at you now. Look at the life you've been transforming through your work, your clients, the mentoring you do, as well as the books you write. So there are no accidents. So, Lenny, I think we should start with, what does an energy medicine practitioner do for those who might be completely new to this?
Well, even for those of us who've been around it for a while, it's not really clear. What a practitioner does, regardless of the method they are using, is bring the, well, start over again. When we were took general science in school, they talked about how when electricity went through a wire, you had a field around the wire. We have electrical, chemical, magnetic, and life force energy going through our bodies, and we have a field around and within the body. When there's an injury, an illness, an emotional upset, a spiritual upset, the field can get out of balance. So what a practitioner does is bring that field back into balance. And I have a story that I like to tell that has to do with this. We've got a construction worker. Now, I live in Oregon, so it rains a lot. And he falls and he breaks his leg, and it's a nasty break. It's what's called a compound fracture, and a piece of the bone has actually broken through the skin. Now, on its own, that leg could heal, but he might not be able to walk again on it. But if a doctor comes in and resets the bone, that leg is going to heal that much better. If he puts pins in to hold it together, that's going to help that leg heal. If someone sterilizes the wounds so that there's to take away chances of infection, it's going to heal better. If someone stitches up the tear in the skin plus the incision from the surgeon, it's going to heal better with less of a scar. If he's given antibiotics, the chances of an infection are greatly reduced. And then if a practitioner comes in, an energy medicine practitioner, and restores balance to the disturbed field, both from the break itself and from the surgery that went on to fix it, that person is going to heal faster with less pain and less complications. No one of those things is going to do it all by itself. It takes the whole entire toolbox to put that leg together so that that person can go back to work and continue enjoying walking and doing all the things in life they like to do.
It's so beautiful. I love how you walked us through that, because I could feel the energy shift. Now, that was a beautiful example, right, of energy medicine working in partnership with allopathic medicine.
Yes.
Do a lot of your clients that come to you, is that what they come to you for, to have that blend?
Unfortunately not. And that's why I like, in situations like what you and I are talking about, to talk about what an energy medicine practitioner does, because I have people coming wanting me to be their primary care person. That's not in my scope of practice. I can't do that. Energy medicine practitioners do not diagnose. We do not puncture the skin. That's just not a part of what we do. Our job is to bring balance into the field, and it can be within the field where you're working with the meridians, which are tracts of energy that go through the body, or it could be with the field that's in and outside of the body. And then there are energy centers within the body, within the field, that you can also bring back into balance. So there's lots of ways of doing it, but they all basically boil down to the same thing. It's bringing things back into balance so that the body can heal itself more easily with less complications and less pain. It also works on an emotional level as well. When you remove, and there are ways of removing or lessening pain, then the person who's got an emotional upset, the pain is no longer, and I can't tell the difference between emotional pain and physical pain, by the way, but by taking some of that pain away, it allows things to come back into balance, and they can think more clearly about what's going on for them. They don't have that angst that's holding them back to heal themselves emotionally as well as physically.
I appreciate you sharing and giving us those insights. We're going to take a quick break, Lenny, and we will be back in a moment. When we come back, I'd love to talk about the difference between like Reiki and healing touch or therapeutic touch. And my friends, will be right back.
Connecting you with the best of the conscious minds in the world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Inspiration for a woman's soul. Aspire Magazine. Inspiring and supporting women on the path of self-discovery. Claim your free digital subscription today, which includes access to thousands of dollars of personal development bonus gifts from Team Inspiration Partners. Claim your Aspire Magazine subscription today at subscribetoaspire.com.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
Consistently attract soulmate clients, begin showing up on brand, monetizing on your calling. Welcome all spiritual coaches, leaders, healers, lightworkers, and practitioners to a show that turns you on in your business and amplifies your magnetism. I'm host, catalyst, and spiritual business coach, Rosalind Fung, and I'm here to journey with you into the juicy and help you discover where the real gaps are. Ignite your mindset and soul with strategies and systems as each episode takes you to the sweet spot that activates your soulgasmic business by tuning in on Tuesdays at 10 a.m. Mountain. Join me for your light language activation and let's magnetize and monetize.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Welcome back. You're listening to Inspired Conversations. I'm here with Lynnie Thomas. You can learn more about her work, find her books and offerings and everything else at lynniethomas.com. So, Lynnie, what is the difference between Reiki, healing touch, or therapeutic touch?
The difference between Reiki and therapeutic touch and healing touch is structure. Actually, there's two differences. One is structure in that no two Reiki masters teach their classes in the same way, whereas healing touch and therapeutic touch were both formed for nurses, by nurses, and are very structured, and all classes are taught very much the same. We have a rigid schedule that we follow, and the same things are taught in every single class. The other difference is that Reiki people pass on symbols to new students to enable them to do the work. I never got a symbol. It really is not necessary in order to do this work. Anybody, even children, can do this work. All it takes is a willingness to do it. And this leads to something very important. It's not the practitioner who's actually doing the healing. It's the person who's receiving that does it, whether they're conscious of it or not. When I bring in universal energy to help restore balance to an energy field, I don't get to choose where that energy goes. The person who's receiving it does. I'm more like an assistant, enabling them to have access to energy where they need it to go. But it's the person who receives it. Their body knows where it needs to go. So you could do all the work from a big toe if you wanted to. It's a lot easier if you know where in the body an issue is, but still, the body itself knows where that energy needs to go. It's kind of like a garden hose. I don't turn the water on, I don't turn the water off, and I don't tell the plants what to do with the water. I'm just there to assist that water to get to where it needs to go. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's like you're a conduit.
Yes. Yes.
It's like you're bringing the two energies together so that they can do the magic, you know.
Right. It's
in my question is, and I love that point of view. I believe that we are all powerful healers, right? That, and do you believe the mind plays an important part as well as the energy?
Yes. And in tension overrides technique. So when I go to work with a client, and this is true of all energy medicine practitioners, we set an intention for what the client wants to have done. For example, if let's say somebody's gone in for a hip replacement and they want to have less pain when they come out of the surgery, and they want to heal faster with fewer complications. So we set that intention ahead of time before the surgery, and then we set that intention when I go to do the work to restore balance to the field after the surgeon has come in and replaced the hip.
That is, to me, everything that I do is about intention. My whole business is about intentional life, intentional business. And as you were speaking, I was thinking, because my honey just, and myself, he went through finding a pituitary tumor and an brain aneurysm within 4 days of each other. They found both.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, but we were so many blessings, Lenny. That's a story for another day. But one of the things is we have a really strong belief system in energy and positive thinking and in envisioning that which we wish to call in and not go into what ifs. And believe me, when you're in a situation like that, lots of what ifs are trying to come through your mind. Well, we stayed focused on how we wanted that first initial brain surgery to go. And here's the beautiful part. It went amazingly. They were able to remove the pituitary tumor, restore his eyesight. But the next day, he was only in there a short time, Lenny. The surgeon, what do you call them? Like a surgeon came in with a bunch of residents and said, you know, sir, do you mind if the residents see you? And he's like, no, go ahead. And she says, you know what? I'm just thinking, I must have messed up. You haven't had your surgery yet. He said, I just had my surgery 12 hours ago. She goes, it's humanly impossible. She said, you're sitting up, you have no black eyes. They cut the bone of his eyebrow bone to get to the brain. And he said, well, I held that intention, right? That he was gonna, so this is really speaking to me because he held the intention in his own energy field. So that's a proof that healing is in our hand. Even the brain aneurysm, he was in and out of the hospital, both brain surgeries in 36 hours. Wow. And never, with both brain surgeries, never got black eyes, which they said is unheard of, not even yellowing. Is that what you're talking about intention and envisioning?
Yes. I come at it from two directions. I had a client who, I live in Oregon, and Powell's is a huge, huge bookstore here. And she had come here from Baltimore to have her surgery. And 4 days after her hip surgery, she's in Powell's looking for books. She wasn't walking, but still, she had set the same kind of intention that she was going to be able to do what she wanted to do. And one of the things she wanted to do was visit Powell's bookstore, which is enormous.
I've seen photos. A lot of my friends live out that way. And I'm like, oh, my God, let me in there.
Yes. Oh, it's terribly expensive just walking in the door.
Oh, yeah. But books feed my soul. So, yeah, that is so powerful. And I've seen it in action with friends and loved ones. I've never personally experienced healing touch. I've experienced Reiki over the years, different other, I guess, you know, some practitioners, they just combine all their sacred offerings. So they might not name it each, all these individual things, but you know, it's some type of energy medicine practice. Now, Donna Eden teaches energy medicine. So when I hear the phrase energy medicine, is that a modality in itself, energy medicine, or is that an umbrella phrase?
That's what she has labeled her particular modality. But okay. It's all energy medicine.
Yeah, they all are because they work with the energy field.
Yes, yes.
And so what led you, because you've written numerous books, but what led you to want to write energy medicine, the comprehensive reference to healing modalities? Because it's an expansive reference for laymen, students, and practitioners that want to know more about energy healing practices.
My students, and lots of times clients too, or friends or whatever, they want to know which modality is best for them. And there's so much stuff out there on the internet, but this way they can read through, find one that I like to say rings their chimes, and then find a practitioner because there's information for how to do that in the book. And away they go, happy to have found something that fits their belief system, how they feel about healing, whether they're more comfortable with working with tapping or the meridians within the body or acupuncture or acupressure, or they'd rather not be touched and have it all done working through the energy field. Their religion may have a part in it. One of the reasons there are so many modalities, it's a lot like the three blind men who are feeling an elephant. One feels a leg and thinks it's like a trunk of a tree. Another one feels the trunk of the elephant and thinks it's like a snake. The other one feels the tail and thinks it's like a rope. Very, very few people can actually see the energy field. There are a few out there who can. But we all experience it differently. And each person has their own unique way of recognizing the energy field. And I know some very good healers who don't feel anything at all. They go by what their clients tell them is happening, and wonderful things happen. So I wanted to find a way of referencing people so that they could find what appeared to them to be comfortable to them. And it might be that they'd heard of polarity therapy, for example, or Jin Shin Jitsu. And so they want to know, well, would this work for me? And they've got a reference book that can tell them what's there, what's available, what a session is like, how it got started, all those good things, research that's going on. There was something I wanted to add to that. Well, if it were important, it'll come back to me.
Well, the beautiful thing is, too, is you see more and more hospitals. I live in south of Boston, but you see Reiki and energy work being done now in hospitals. Healing Touch is one of them in many places. Have you seen that in your area, too?
Yes. Yes. Therapeutic Touch and Healing Touch. Therapeutic Touch is the forerunner to Healing Touch. The founder of Healing Touch, Janet Menken, had taken Therapeutic Touch just out of curiosity, got really involved with it, and wanted to do more than what Therapeutic Touch was teaching. And Dolores Krieger, who was in charge of it at the time, didn't want to add a bunch of other techniques. She wanted it just to be done the way she was teaching it. So Janet Menken broke off and started her own company, Healing Touch. And there's a lot more techniques that are involved than there are in Therapeutic Touch. But basically, they're doing the same thing.
Well, that's beautiful. And we're going to take another break, Lenny. And when we come back, let's go back to something you said earlier, that there's a difference between curing and healing. I think that's so important for everyone to understand. So we'll be back in a moment, my friends. I'm with Lenny Thomas. You can learn more at lennythomas.com. We'll be right back.
The best of the holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Your worth is not determined by the number on the scale. You are enough right now, exactly as you are. If you're like many midlife women, you've thought, if I could just reach my ideal weight, I'd be so much happier. What we're really craving is our own love and acceptance, and Sarah Haas is that guide for your journey. Sarah is a women's weight release expert and body love coach, and walks alongside midlife women ready to say yes to self-care, self-compassion, and body love so they can become the healthy, vibrant, and unapologetically confident women they're here to be. Her holistic approach integrates nutrition, body movement, and self-care to nurture body, mind, and spirit. Visit sarahhaaswellness.com for supportive resources, programs, and more for midlife women ready to reclaim their health.
More than 24 million Americans have an autoimmune disorder, and that number continues to grow. I'm Sharon Saylor, and I'm one of those 24 million. To put that number in perspective, cancer affects about 9 million and heart disease up to 22 million. That's why I've brought together top experts and those thriving regardless of their diagnosis to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information. Join me, Sharon Saylor, Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, for the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio to find out how to live your life uninterrupted.
Hey, hon, what you doing with your phone? Taking pictures?
No. I'm asking it questions.
Like what?
Hey, Bobo, do flowers have best friends?
I'm sorry. I'm afraid I don't know that.
Hey, follow me. I want to show you something. Look, flowers do have best friends.
Whoa.
Some answers can only be found in nature. Discover the unsearchable. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a trail near you. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Free your mind with Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Welcome back. You're listening to Inspired Conversations. Your host, Linda Joy, and with me today is Linny Thomas. So, Linny, earlier in the episode, you shared about the difference between cure and heal. Is that an important aspect of your work teaching other teachers, as well as your work with clients, is helping them understand the difference that they are not the healer, they're the conduit?
Yes, there is it is important. Allopathic medicine as a whole is more interested in a cure, the removal of the symptoms. But they're not working with the whole person. Spirituality, emotional issues, psychological issues, mental issues, all those things are part of a whole person, just as well as, of course, the physicality of the body itself. When those other items are not addressed, the person doesn't always heal as fast or as well, or might not even heal at all. In spite of all the care that allopathic medicine is giving, and I am one of the first persons who has high praise for allopathic medicine. I am amazed every time I go into a hospital and I see some new piece of equipment or some new way of doing things so that people are healing so much easier, so much faster. They're saving lives in ways that in the 25 years I've been doing this, there's been a huge change, and I am in awe of what they're doing. So this is not a criticism. It's just that they're not including the whole person. But what they are doing is critically important. It's like going back to my construction worker. Their part is part of the picture, and it's critical. When you get into healing, you're dealing with the whole person. One of the biggest gifts energy medicine practitioners give to their clients is to listen to them. An appointment usually takes at least an hour. And a lot of that, the first 20 minutes usually, is listening to what is going on for the client. And it may be that the practitioner has seen that client a couple dozen times in the past, but each time a person walks in, they're different. They've had different experiences. Their thought processes may have changed. Changes are happening in their lives, and those need to be discussed as part of the healing process. So listening is a huge part of what we do.
It's like holding sacred space so you can really hear the layers underneath.
Yes, and yeah. Lots of times I will pray with the client. I've seen countless studies on the power of prayer alone. And in a sense, that's working with God to set an intention for the healing of the person. And so when they hit a point where they are comfortable with where they are at, it's like my little friend who was paralyzed from the waist, is now paralyzed from the waist down, but from the waist up, she's in pretty good shape. She was comfortable with that. She could live with that. She didn't feel like she needed to be in therapy every week anymore. She had things she wanted to do. She wanted to move on in life, and she did. And she's most quadriplegics, which means the whole body is paralyzed from the neck down, rarely live past 10 years. And it's been 28 years since she had her accident. And she's going strong.
That's beautiful. That is so beautiful. And there's something when you said about prayer too, because when I have a large global following and I'm pretty intimate with my audience. And when I posted about Dana, I mean, people around the world were praying during that time. And he and I have no doubt at all, because we could feel the love, right? To me, praying is love.
Yes.
And no matter what name you may give it, we felt it. So I completely believe in the power of prayer. So I'm so glad that you shared that. I want to shift gears a little, because you also hold classes about recognizing and communicating with guides. What does that word "with guides" mean to you?
When I first started out wanting to be a practitioner in healing touch, you have to do 100 healings as part of the certification process. And so I set up an office to do my 100 healings plus to continue on after that. And this voice was talking to me on the way home, and he would critique me on what I had been doing. Most of the critique was not on the techniques that I used, it was on my judgment of my clients. And at times it was a bit annoying. I thought I was doing a wonderful job, and he was saying, "You're still seeing that person as ill. You don't want to do that. You want to see them as whole and healthy and well." Now, I knew that it was a spirit guide. You could call it a guardian angel. You can call it whatever you want. I had been introduced to that in a class that I had taken some 20 years earlier, and they were calling them personal assistants. And you built an elevator in your mind, and you brought down your personal assistant, and then you talked with them. And this wasn't a healing class. It was a class for professional people. And what they would do is have you, if you had a meeting the next day with, say, a client that you wanted to sell some product to, you would bring down your personal assistant and ask them, do they like coffee or tea? Do they like cream and sugar? What do they want to know about this product that will help them make a decision to buy it? And so people would bring in their assistants and do all that, and have the right drinks there on the table for the client, and have all the answers that they were going to ask the questions. It was pretty powerful stuff. And then when I got into the healing world, wow, my acceptance of having an assistant turned out to be, his name is Oreg, and he's been my head healing guide ever since. One of the things when somebody's going in for surgery, Oreg and I will talk to the person, we'll have them talk to all the different systems in the body, the circulatory system, the skeletal system, the muscles, the lungs, the different organs, and talk to the body about what is about to happen is in the highest good of the whole body. Then we have the client, and we say, okay, whether you know it or not, you've got a guardian angel. And we have that guardian angel talk to the surgeon's guardian angels, the anesthetist guardian angels, the nurse's guardian angels, and whoever else is in the operating room, so that they're all working together for the highest good of the client. Well, lots of people say, okay, how do I connect with a guide? And it takes a lot of practice. I mean, I started this back in 1978 when I first learned that I had guides, the personal assistants that they call them in that class. But I practiced it every day. It fascinated me. And it took years before I could I was washing dishes because nobody bothered me when I was washing dishes. So for me, that's a good time for a meditation. And I would ask a question of my guide and they would answer it. But sometimes I wouldn't catch the answer until 2 or 3 days later. So then I got the idea, answer my question in a way that I can understand. And it was important for my guide to know that I'm kinesthetic. So some of it came through touch or feelings. But as I practiced, that time between the question and answer got shorter and shorter and shorter until now we hold regular conversations and have for years.
And I love this. I believe we all have. I call, like, the phrase I use is my divine support team. I feel I have multiple, and I've been told I have multiple. And then depending what I need or I'm going through, one comes to the forefront. And so it's how I navigate my life. I don't receive it as you do, it just because I receive as knowings, but I share everything. Like one of the things, and it has to do with the allopathic again, is I recently had surgery, and as I shared, Dana did. Both times, I said to the surgeons, right before going in, I said, I just need a moment, and I'm asking my divine support team to support your divine support team in the highest and best for this surgery. And I asked my divine support team to guide the surgeon's hands, right? And thankfully, the divine brought me two surgeons who, like my surgeon, just he went right into prayer, put his hands together in prayer, and he says, thank you for sending your divine support team to mine. And I was like, yes, he's divinely aligned. So I just love this conversation. We're going to take a final break, Lenny. When we come back, let's continue this conversation. We'll be back for our last segment in a moment, ladies. You can learn more about my guest, Lenny Thomas, at lennythomas.com. We'll be back in a moment.
The best of the holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Are you ready to make the second half of your life the best half of your life, my midlife friend? Living a life full of happiness, abundance, and success is possible when you learn strategies to soothe your inner critic, honor your inner wisdom, and that support you to co-create your life from a place of joy and possibility. Don't walk the journey alone. Midlife Transformation Guide, Master Certified Law of Attraction Coach, and Certified Desire Factor Coach, Karen Shire, will passionately support you to uncover and release what no longer lights you up, so you can go from feeling stuck, stressed, and unfulfilled to feeling free, empowered, and eager for the next chapter of your life. Learn more at KarenShireCoaching.com and schedule a complimentary discovery call today.
Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
This is Kathy Beal, host of Celestial Compass, featuring astrology you can use. Celestial Compass points you to what's going on in the sky and what you can do with it down here on Earth. We also explore fun, effective, and cosmic tools for navigating this adventure we call life. Join me the first and third Monday of the month at 5 p.m. Eastern Time for Celestial Compass. It's enlightening, entertaining, and empowering.
The United States has the highest rate of incarceration in the world. At the Equal Justice Initiative, we believe mass incarceration has to end. There is this presumption of dangerousness and guilt that gets assigned to Black and brown people. We have to confront our history of racial injustice and commit to a new era of truth. There's something better waiting for us, something that feels more like freedom. Truth can inspire change. Please learn more at EJI.org.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Welcome back. You're listening to Inspired Conversations. I'm here with Linny Thomas. So as I, right before the break, I described that, like, my feeling is not just one. I have like a divine support team, a Native American Archangel Michael Strong for me. And I have some deceased relatives, which is funny because in the living world, I wasn't close to them. But I've had multiple people tell me that this certain person is there. And the first time I heard that, I was very surprised. They said, oh, he was extraordinary. Was he extraordinary with finances in the living? I go, oh yeah, he was. She goes, that's what he shows up when you need that most. So have you heard people describe it in that way, like multiple, or what is
it? Oh yes, I can see seven around you right now.
It's funny, that's a number I always hear, Linny. That is funny, that's the number I receive.
And they like very much to be given an assignment. Like, you know, if you're working on, say you're working on your taxes and you've got no idea of what to do or where to go or anything, ask your lead guardian angel or whatever to bring you a guide who's a tax expert. And the next thing you know, you'll find a pamphlet on how to do this. You'll find information will come your way about all the things that you need to know for deductions. All this information will suddenly start coming your way, or there something on the internet shows up that answers exactly the question you have. Guides do wonderful things. They may answer it themselves, but if you're not good at communicating yet, it will show up in, like I say, a pamphlet or an item on the internet, or somebody moves in next door and it turns out they're a tax accountant. All that kind of stuff just suddenly shows up.
Oh my God, it shows up all the time. I call it soul giggles because I get soul giggles, and I always, yes, always say thank you. I always go, I saw that sign, thank you so much. Thank you. And
that's so important. You're leading into a critical thing here. When you're working with your guides, don't beg.
No, it's like
they're likely to ignore you. But if you talk to them with gratitude, and I appreciate so much your help, thank you for this, what I need to know, I know it's coming my way, you get results almost instantly.
Yeah, I found that to be true. And I've been on the spiritual path 32 years, 20 really deep dive. And one of the things, I lead my whole business with intuition. Aspire Magazine, I've shared this before, I never wanted to start a magazine, Linny. I had another business for 10 years, taught myself all I knew, because I went from welfare mom to opening a retail business with no experience. Grew it three times, won Entrepreneur of the Year. But I was on the spiritual path, but I didn't know how to honor it and hear and listen. Well, do you know, after I closed that business, I was on hiatus, becoming a massage therapist, Reiki practitioner. I was following angel card reader. I was following a different path. I kept receiving a vision for the cover of a magazine in my dreams. And the cover always looked exactly the same, with a hand-drawn logo of a woman coming out of the lotus. And I can remember going, what the frick are you waking me up for with this magazine cover? I didn't understand signs at the time. And I mean, to be honest, it was pissing me off, right? Because it was always in the like 2 to 4 in the morning. Finally, one day, thinking, if I can get this out of my head and onto paper, maybe it will leave me alone. Again, not knowing about signs and all of that at that time. Do you know, the moment I printed it on Microsoft Publisher and hung it on my bulletin board, all I did, Linny, and I looked up and said, you know what? You want me to do something with this, then you better tell me what to do, because I have no idea what this is. Everything unfolded so fast in the next 6 months. Next thing I know, I birthed a magazine in 2006, and within 90 days had 10,000 subscribers. And then we went digital, and I've been around all that time, and we've grown, all because the next steps were always revealed to me. And I learned from that experience how to decipher and listen and take action. And that's how I learned to trust what I receive. And now everything that I do is from the guidance from my intuition and divine support team. To me, they're one and the same.
They are. You know,
my intuition is because of my divine support team. And I'll share another story about the power of listening and what you said about don't beg. I'm also a book publisher. Our 20th book's about to, I just announced the call for authors for our 20th book, which this one happens to be a sacred anthology. But every year, everyone's waiting for me to announce the title of the next book. Well, when in 2019, right, I'd say it was early year, I wasn't receiving the title. As a publisher, I never choose the title, Lenny. I wait to receive the title. And every book has become an international bestseller because I listen and don't try to use my ego or mind to choose. Well, I was getting pretty pissed off. I'm like, listen, everybody is bugging me. They're on the wait list. You haven't given me a title. You never take this long. And I was taking a little two-year-old temper tantrum, right, with the divine support team. I'm like, the signal is not clear. Guess what, Lenny? 3 months later, Dana was diagnosed. I know now that I was not given the title because the timing was not right for me to bring a book to life and work with 30, 40 authors when my energy would be needed for his healing. That's what you're talking about, right? Don't trust it, no matter even if it's not going your way, like it wasn't for me.
Yes, I understand completely what you're saying. And lots of times we're given an idea for something, but then we have to wait for the rest of the universe to catch up to where everything is in alignment for it to happen. And you just described how that happens beautifully.
Yeah, and that's how it's been for me. And I, like I said, I live my life now, 60 years old, trusting. And I try to, I guide my clients and, you know, you're always divinely supported. Look for the blessings, not the bullshit. Whatever you focus on is what you're going to get. That's my, I focus on gratitude and blessings and staying connected to my source. We have about 3 minutes left, Lenny. Is there any other piece of wisdom that you'd like to leave our listeners with more than you've already shared, my friend?
Yes. When you are a client, you are in charge of the healing. I don't care if it's with a doctor, an energy medicine practitioner, a physical therapist, whatever. And if something is not going the way you are comfortable with, speak up. I know too many clients who are too shy. They treat us all, healers and doctors alike, like gods, and we're not. We're human beings and we make mistakes. But the most important thing is to know that you as the client, you are the one in charge. And if you don't like what's happening, for goodness sake, say something. And most doctors and practitioners will go, oh, well, let's try it this way, or let's do it a different way. And things get resolved and people start healing again. But I just want people to know that they have power in their own healing.
Such an important message, and I know that from personal experience, from everything Dana and myself just went through. Such a powerful message. And Lenny, I'm just so grateful that you joined me today, and I'm such a blessing that you're sharing this message and work with the world. And I want to invite everyone to go to lennythomas.com, grab a copy of the Encyclopedia of Energy Medicine, check out everything else she's doing in the world. So much is there to support you. Stay connected with her. And Lenny, thank you, my friend, for joining me.
Oh, you're welcome. It's been great fun talking with you. I feel like we're kindred spirits.
Oh, we are in so many ways, my friend. Yes. And again, everyone, that is lennythomas.com. Until next time, my friends, choose love, choose joy, choose happiness. Blessings.
Thanks for listening to Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy. Join our sacred space every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Eastern and meet leading female visionaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. Inspired Conversations with Linda Joy is a soulful venue where guests share the obstacles they've overcome, along with wisdom and lessons learned on their personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired conversations to empower you on your path to authentic and soulful living.